Shalom Aleichem for Parshas Ekev. We have six Divrei Torah. Just a quick overview of the Parsha before we get into the Divrei Torah. It's a beautiful Parsha, absolutely stunning, beautiful psukim. And it talks about the schar of mitzvahs, the reward that we get for the keeping of the mitzvahs. Talks about the midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu recounting the food, the sustenance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplied to Klal Yisrael. Also warnings against materialism and so much more in this week's parsha. We are going to start all the way at the beginning. Pretty famous, Vaya Ekev Tishmune Samishpatim Eile. Reading in the English, it says, this shall be the reward when you hearken to these ordinances, the Mishpatim, Ushmartim Vasisim Asam, and you keep the mitzvahs, etc., etc. And the focus of Chazal and Rashi brings it is this word, Vahaya Ekev. It can mean the reward when you listen to the mitzvahs, but it's a funny usage of the word, and Ekev also means a heel. And Rashi says as follows, what this is really talking about is what you have to be careful about is not only the big stuff, the big mitzvahs. Don't worship Avodah Zarah, keep Shabbat, say the Kriyat Shema every day, but the small stuff as well. In Rashi's language, it's a mitzvah, hakalos shadam dash beikvav. What this pasuk is referring to homiletically is that the small stuff that typically somebody tramples on with his heel, you have to be careful about what people consider small stuff as well. It's only a small aver, it's no big deal. Oh, it's only a small mitzvah that I didn't do as a small chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking not only at the big stuff, but the small stuff as well. And in fact, this shows we are committed, especially when we watch the small stuff and are careful. We avoid the small averes. We do the small mitzvahs, not only the big things as well. That shows our true color. So that is what Rashi brings down on this word, Vahaya Ekev. Ekev, you will have the reward, but where is the reward really? When you're attentive to the, especially the small stuff. Now the Avnei Nezer, this is very relevant as we're coming up to Elul and Yamim Noraim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the time of Tshuva. He says that in fact, when it comes to Tshuva, the mitzvahs that we deem to be the small stuff that we typically trample on with our heel, the Ekev with our heel, it is so much more difficult to do Tshuva, to repent, when we violate small sins, quote-unquote small sins, or we don't do small mitzvahs, we had these small opportunities, so much more difficult to do tshuva. Why? Because part and parcel of doing tshuva, of repenting, one of the elements, one of the needed requirements to do tshuva is recognizing the sins. I know I did this, I know I did that. Once you can ascertain what the sins are that you're doing tshuva for, tshuva becomes much easier. But if you have what you consider small stuff, you don't even recognize, you don't even know that you violated X, Y, and Z. You consider it small, inconsequential, so much more difficult to do tshuva for them. And in fact, fascinating, a couple types of korbanos that we bring when we do sins. One is called korban chatas. Korban chatas is when somebody knows that he did a specific sin, you bring a korban chatas. There's another type called an asham. Different reasons to bring a korban asham, but one of them is you don't know if you did an aver or not. So you have a suffix. Did I do an aver or did I do a sin? Did I not do a sin? So you bring an asham. And it's fascinating to note the minimum cost of the chatas when you know you did the sin is less than the minimum required cost of the animal to buy the animal when you don't know. It's hard to ascertain, did I do a sin or not? And the reason for that, explains Rabbeinu Yonah, is along the lines of what we're discussing, because it's so much easier to repent when you know you did a sin, and accordingly bring a korban chatas, much simpler process, much simpler repentance, tshuva process, than when you're not sure. Did I do the avera? Did I not do the avera? It's a much more difficult process to go through when you don't know. You don't take it as seriously, and accordingly, the cost of the asham is more than that of the chatas. And Rav Moshe Sternbach, he ties it together in his Tam Vedas, a beautiful set of Svarim, and he says what we learn from all of his Famavur, Ke'ena Tshuva Shlema, that you can't have a true repentance, you can't have a true tshuva unless you first recognize the sin, you know you did the sin, and the significance of the sin. Neida kamatzarek lashuv midarko hara. First, you have to know what you did. You have to know the severity of the sin, so you know what repentance is required. But when it comes to the small stuff, people say, don't sweat the small stuff. We have to sweat the small stuff, because in fact, we see from this that the small stuff is even more difficult to do tshuva from. The stuff that we typically walk on with our heels, that we don't care about, and we view as inconsequential, so much more difficult to do tshuva with the small stuff. So that's the ramification of Ahaya Ekev. Accordingly, when it's the small stuff, if you adhere to the small stuff, Bashmart and Vasisa and Masam, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really looking for. Really, the postures of this pasuk, what it's talking about, according to Rav Sternbach, is that it's talking about HaMishpatim. When you adhere to the Mishpatim, it's talking about financial laws. When it are monetary dealings between people, that oftentimes people take it lightly. That's Akev. We walk on it. We don't think it's so important if we're not 100% honest in business. 99% will be 98%, some people 70%. But what's the big deal? And we rationalize things, saying it was just a little bit of a lie. It was Genevis Das. It was a non-Jew. What's the big deal? And the fact is, it is a big deal. Stealing from a non-Jew is worse than stealing from a Jew. Genevis Das, misrepresentation, is equally inappropriate and prohibited, a Jew and a non-Jew. That's the Gemara says explicitly. But unfortunately, people take these financial monetary matters lightly. And accordingly, the pasuk is saying, don't take it lightly. You need to sweat what you view as the small stuff, because to God, this is not small stuff whatsoever. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2. It's in Perek Ches, Pasuk Aleph, the first Pasuk of Perek Ches, and it says as follows, Moshe Rabbeinu talked in Katkal Yisrael, Kol HaMitzvah Asher Nechim Mitzavcha Hayom, every, all of the mitzvahs that I am being mitzavya, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding us today, and our focus is, what is this Kol HaMitzvah, all of the mitzvahs, what is Kol HaMitzvah, and what is this focus on that I am commanding you today? So again, Rav Moshe Sternbach in his Sefer Tam Vadas says that it is obligatory upon us as follows, Ki kol ha-mitzvah lo nitzava elohu. We have to look at it, that every mitzvah, every opportunity, every need upon us is upon us. Because oftentimes people try to shirk responsibilities and they'll say, there are people who are better to take on this responsibility, to do this chesed, to do this mitzvah. There are people who are more appropriate and more skilled than I am. Or, even if I'm going to commit myself to do, I'll do some of it. I'm not going to do all of it. Other people can take up some of the slack. Other people can be involved as well. But we should look at it as kol ha-mitzvah, that the chovah is upon me in the shleimus and in its entirety. I shouldn't be looking to look to other people, outsourcing to other people, leaning on other people. But if you have something that you are capable of accomplishing, do it yourself. It doesn't mean you shouldn't get help. It doesn't mean you shouldn't recruit other people. But it means don't shirk the responsibility. So that's point number one. Kol ha-mitzvah, all of the mitzvah, look at it as your responsibility. Because if everyone is pointing the finger at somebody else, nothing is going to get done. And in fact, not only who should do the responsibility, but when should the responsibility be done? This is point number two. It says, Hayom, today, don't push it off. Don't delay, but do it with alacrity and desire. So that's why it says, Hayom, do it today. Don't push it to tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next year. If you have something that has to get done, do it promptly, immediately when you are able to. Don't push it off. Don't shirk the responsibility. They're not doing it. And time-wise, don't push it down the line. Now we're moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, a very famous pasuk. We are in Perek Chesim, Perek Pasuk Yud Zayin. And the pasuk says, oftentimes people will be inclined to think that when they make efforts, and they work hard, especially hard at something, that it's them that did it. Especially when it comes to earning a parnasa and income, I cut a great deal, I made a lot of money, I worked hard in something, and accordingly, that's why I was successful. And we forget, the harder we work, we forget that it's God that is giving us the wealth, the income, the parnasa that we have. And the pasuk says as follows, a famous pasuk, Kochi v'otzem yadi asa li asachayil azem, my koach, my strength, otzem yadi, the might of my hand, that is what made me this wealth, that made me this income, that earned me this house. That is our inclination. I worked hard. I did it. Me, me, me. And in fact, that's not the case. We obviously have to put in effort. We have to work hard. We shouldn't work too hard that it becomes unreasonable, but we obviously have to put in an effort, but with always the realization in the end of the day that Parnassa comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu and not our effort. So people are inclined to say as follows, Nire kochi hakavani, what is kochi, says Rav Sternbach, kochi, my strength is my kochos. the effort that I put in, the skills that I had, that is the base. Koach, my koach. The otzim yadi means, and I went even farther. Not only did I use my koach, but I used my otzim yadi. I went beyond. I worked so exceedingly hard at this. It was me. And I put in koach and otzim yadi, which is more than koach. And accordingly, Rav Sternbach says that commonly when you go to somebody and ask, can you give a donation? There are needy people. There's a needy institution. Give tzedakah. Oftentimes they will say, do you know how hard I worked to earn this money? Do you know how hard it is I worked to earn this car, to earn this house, to earn everything that I have? I worked not only my koach, but otzim yadi as well. I worked harder than hard. And it was all about my earning it. And now you come to me and you want me to give tzedakah. You want me to give my money away that I worked so hard for to those that didn't work at all? People that they don't put in effort like I did. Why should I contribute? Why don't they put in the effort that they put it, that I put in? If they would put in the same effort, they would be successful, and people don't want to give because of that. And in fact, he says that there are even people who don't want to contribute, help their own children when they need help because they work so hard and they take all the credit. They think it's all of their efforts that earn them their money, and they don't want to depart for it for anyone, even their own children. And they don't get it. They don't understand that it wasn't their strength, it wasn't their power that they earned them all of the wealth, but it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu who gives the people. We obviously have to make our effort. We have to make reasonable hishtadlus. We've got to put in our efforts, but ultimately it comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he says, who's going to get and who's not going to get? Ubevadai, certainly when it comes to helping others, we have to have this realization that it's not all about me. It's not all about my efforts, but it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu who gives us the parnasa and gives it to us to be used in the proper way. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4, and Moshe Rabbeinu recounting the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu was up on the Har Sinai, and Kodesh Baruch Hu says there's something bad going on. They are worshiping that Egel, that golden calf. And there's, interestingly, a discussion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu up on the Har Sinai, as Moshe Rabbeinu was there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I see, Am Ksheir Rafu, they are a stiff-necked nation, they are stubborn, they're sinning. And he says, Herev Mimenevesh B'dem V'emcha. Now, by the way, in Dvar Torah number 4, we're in a Perek Tes, and a number of psukim here, Pasuk Yudalid, and there afterwards. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu, I've had enough. I'm going to make you into the nation, but this Klal Yisrael, they have to go. And Moshe Rabbeinu, accordingly, it says as follows, Ve'efen, this is Moshe Rabbeinu recounting the conversation and the occurrences now, after the Chet HaEgel, now that 40 years later, Ve'efen, approximately, Ve'efen, Ve'eri bin Ahar, and I went down from Arsinai, Vahar, Bo'er, Ba'esh, Ushne Luchos, Habris, Alshte, Yadai, no, wrong timing, but okay, let's leave that as it may. So now we have the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting at the end of his life, and he says as follows, the Eifen Veramina Harva Arbo Erbaesh, and he says, this is Harsina, this is Matan Torah, and Ushne Luchos Habris al Shte Yadai, and I had the two Luchos Habris, and I had the two commandments in my hands. In fact, yeah, it was approximately 40 years, so I need to keep going back on that. Ushte Luchos Habris al Shte Yadai, and I had the two Luchos in my hands. And Moshe Rabbeinu calls them the Shtei Luchas HaBris, recounting when he was up on our Sinai, they were the Luchas HaBris, they were the tablets, they were the Ten Commandments, Luchas HaBris, meaning the Luchas of making a commitment between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Bris, this is the covenant that they had. And then thereafter, Va'eirevine, so he went down from our Sinai, and then I saw your sin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling me, and you made the eagle, you made the sin of the golden calf, you made the calf. And then, Ve'etvos b'shnei haluchos, that I was holding on to the luchos, and Va'ashlicham, either I threw them down, or they slipped out of my hand. And what's fascinating here is that initially, when Moshe Rabbeinu was up on the Har, calls them the Luchos HaBris, and now calls them the Luchos. What happened? Why up there in Har Sinai are they called the Luchos HaBris, the Luchos of the Covenant, and now they're simply called the Luchos. What happened here? So, fascinating as follows. The Bechorei Aviv says, what happened was, Chazal tell us that up, when Moshe Rabbeinu received the Luchos HaBris, they were the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they had the beautiful letters on them, and they had the Ten Commandments on them. And you have a mixture of physicality, the luchos themselves, made on something that's material, physical, concrete, and something that is metaphysical, spiritual, the letters. And it was actually the spirituality that was supporting the heaviness of the material, the physical material that the luchos were made of. But when Moshe Rabbeinu went down from the Har, Chazal tell us that when he saw what was going on, he saw the Chet HaEgel, the spiritual component of the luchos left. They took off. So the letters left, and all you're left with is the heaviness of the physical luchos in your hand. And that's when they slipped out of his hand. Moshe could no longer hold them, and that's when he either dropped them, or they fell, or he threw them from his hands. And that explains, says the Bechori Aviv, why originally they're called the luchos habris, before the spiritual, before the letters left, because when he's up on the Har, when he's up on Har Sinai, he hadn't seen the sin yet. And accordingly, that's when both components were together. The letters had not left the luchos. Accordingly, it's called luchos habris. But only once Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Chet HaEgel, the tragedy, the travesty of what was going on with the Chet HaEgel. So that's when the letters, they left. He's left with only the concrete, the physical, not made of the material concrete, but of the physical luchos is all that's left. At that point, when he sees the Chet HaEgel, it's no longer called the luchos habris, the covenant, but just the luchos. These are just physical, and a physical item, and it's no longer the luchos habris that holds the spirituality as well. In fact, it's fascinating to note in Parshas Ki Tisa, originally when the actual, this is now in our Parsha, the recounting of the Chet HaEgel, when it actually happened, we see the same thing. It says in Shmos, Perek Lama Beis, Pasuk Tesvav, Vayifen, Vayere Moshe Min Aoshne, Luchos HaEdus Biyado. There was called Luchos HaEdus, the Luchos of Testimony. That is before, when he was on Har Sinai, he turned to go, he had the Luchos HaEdus, Testimony, that we have this covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But afterward, right then, a few psukim later, in Pasuk Yutes, it says, Vayaras HaEgel, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Egel, what happened? Vayashlech miyadav es haluchos. He threw the luchos from his hand, or they slipped out of his hand. It's only called luchos and not luchos ha'edu. So we see here the impact of sin. What sin can do, it can turn something of the holiest level, but discern it to something that is devoid of that holiness. And that's the message here. It was the Chet HaEgel that turned the luchos habris, the luchos ha'edus, from being something on such a high spiritual level to being something that's simply a physical item with no spirituality because of the intervening sin. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5. We are in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis, another famous Pasuk. It says, Vata Yisrael ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Mimach. Klal Yisrael, and now Klal Yisrael, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu desire from you? Kim liyiras Hashem Elokach. He wants yira. He wants you to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, there's a fascinating Gemara that asks as follows. It says, what does God want? He only wants you to fear Him. What's the big deal? So the Gemara in Baruch says, V'chi yira milsas utrata. What do you mean? Fearing God, is that such a small, simple thing to do? It makes it sound like, God, what does God want from me? He only wants a little bit of fear of it. What's the big deal? For Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara answers. At first it asks, what? It's such a simple, you think it's easy to do that? And yes, it's simple. For Moshe Rabbeinu, that is a simple thing. So what does that mean for Moshe Rabbeinu, fear of God is a simple thing? So there's a Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev. He says a fascinating explanation of that. Let's take a step back. Let's go back approximately 80 years in Parsha Shmos, that there was a decree by Paro against the Jews that all the baby Jews, they have to, little baby boys, they have to be thrown into the Nile because they were concerned that the Savior of Klal Yisrael was going to be born, and that would include Moshe was born at that time as well. So it said in the Pasuk Shmos, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayihi, Ki Yarua Mialados, Es Alokim, Vayaslam Batim, when the Mialados, the maidservants, the doulas who were assisting the Jewish women who were giving birth, they feared God. And although, despite the fact that they were told, including Yocheved, this is Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron's mother, they were told that you're going to have to assist us in our plan, our nefarious plan of getting rid of these babies. They had fear of God and they were not going to play ball. And because of that fear of God, Yarua Mialdus Alakim, they have fear of God. Accordingly, they were given batim, literally houses. It doesn't mean houses. Rashi explains that because of the schus of that, they were given bate kuna levia, that they had a schus, Yocheved had a schus because of her yira shemaim, her fear of God, that she gave birth to Moshe and Aharon. Moshe had the bayis, was given the levia, the being the levi, and also the manig, the malchus of Klal Yisrael, and the kahuna, the kohen, was given to Aharon. So what's going on here? What's going on here? We see that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon as well, the Moshe Rabbeinu was a result of the Yirat Shamayim, a result of his mother's Yirat Shamayim, fear of God. That's the whole reason in the schar of that, that she had a Moshe Rabbeinu. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, how did he look at himself? He looked at himself, it's Parshas Baloso, it says that he was the most modest of people. The most modest person. He didn't look at himself in it. He looked down upon, he looked at himself as just a commoner, nothing special, nothing significant. And this is what must be going on in Moshe Rabbeinu. At least we would think we're imputing this to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the explanation. It goes as follows, based on that Gemara and Brachos that we cited. What's the big deal of Yirat Shamayim? So says the Kedushas Levi, we have Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a result of the Yirat Shamayim of his mother. But nonetheless, we know Moshe Rabbeinu didn't think of the world of himself. He certainly had self-esteem, but he said, I'm just a normal person. He didn't have an inflated ego. He's the most modest person in the world. Accordingly, if Moshe Rabbeinu is a result of Yirat Shamayim, and how did Moshe Rabbeinu look at himself as not something very significant? He's not a great person. Accordingly, Yirat Shamayim, which he's a result of Yirat Shamayim, it can't be a difficult thing. It can't be such a big deal because he was the result of it. I'm a result of Yirat Shamayim. Yirat Shamayim can't be such a big deal because I'm the schar. I was the schar of Yirat Shamayim to my mother. And accordingly, when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yirat Shamayim is not the biggest of deal because he's a result of it. He didn't look at it. It wasn't a big challenge to him. On the other hand, for other people that they have a huge self-esteem and they look at themselves as great, they don't look at themselves as lowly, etc. Then we have, as normal people, we certainly have much more challenges of Yirat Shamayim. It's something indeed that we constantly have to be working on. So that's the explanation for why Moshe Rabbeinu, for him, Yirat Shamayim was simple. He's a result of Yirat Shamayim. How difficult could it be? We're now moving on to our final Dvar Torah, number 6. Another one of the parshas of Kriya Shema, the second parsha of Kriya Shema, Uchsaftam al mezuzos beisecha visharecha, when it comes to the writing of the mezuzos. So it says, interestingly, and now we're back to Rav Moshe Sternbach and his Tam Vadas, the language here is in single tense, that you should write on the mezuzos of your single tents, of your house and your gates. And right after this, it says it in Lashon Rabim, in plural tense, not single tense, L'man yirbu yameichem v'meimeichem, in order to get schar, to get reward, to have extended lives. So it's interesting, why do we have this change when you're writing, you're putting up the mezuzah, place a mezuzah on your house and your gate, that is in single tense, but when it comes to the schar, the consequence of it, that is in plural tense. So he said the concept here is that we have individuals, koveya, they are putting up a mezuzah on their doors. And what that means, what that signifies, is we're making announcement that I'm a Jew. That is what a mezuzah, one of the things a mezuzah represents. We're not going to hide it. We're not going to put it in the doorpost so people can't see it. And we're going to make a public announcement, a proclamation. We're not going to hide who we are because we're proud of who we are. We're not going to be, he says, like those people that want to blend in secular society with the non-Jews. We don't want to stick out. We want to just be like everyone else. That's not the concept of the mezuzah. The concept of the mezuzah is that we want to show who we are. We're proud. It doesn't mean that we have to, quote unquote, wear it on our sleeve and be in the face of other people with our religion. But it's not something we want to hide. We are proud of it. We are proud of it, and we obviously we have to act properly as we're proud of it and make the statement we're from Jews in society. But it's not something to be embarrassed at all about. It's something to be proud about. And he says, "Nimtzahu moreh u'mezakeh sarabim." If somebody acts like that, acts properly, as outwardly frum, makes the Kiddush Hashem, that is a schus, that is a merit for everyone else, and inspires everyone else to keep the mitzvahs as well, that we should be proud and keep the mitzvahs in a proper way and make a Kiddush Hashem. So accordingly, we have an individual who is impacting the tzibur. We have an individual who's putting up the mezuzah and is acting an example for others. And accordingly, leman yirbu yameichem, that is going to have consequences and inspiration. To other words, the tzibur as a whole will take on that message and also will have that inspiration to act accordingly, being proud of who we are, inspiring one another to act properly in secular society and as we keep the mitzvah. So that's the concept. Put up the mezuzah, each individual. Be proud of who we are. Don't hide it. Act properly in secular society and act as an inspiration for others. And that is good. The man yirbu yameichem, that is something that is positive for the entire Klal Yisrael. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for listening.